Hello, this is Michael Novenson with Information Security Media Group. We're going to be discussing security operations in cloud today with Nir Zuk. He is the founder and chief technology officer at Palo Alto Networks. Good afternoon, Nir. How are you?
I'm good. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for making the time here. So I know it's been a little over a week since Google announced plans to acquire Wiz for $32 billion. Two-part question for you here. First, what is the significance of seeing some of these hyperscalers getting into the game of trying to do native multi-cloud security? And then second, what does it mean for Palo Alto Networks and your ability to work with Google Cloud and to do things like joint product roadmaps?
I'm not sure I understand Google's intention with this acquisition. I think what we've seen with other cloud providers that have been trying to sell multi-cloud security solutions is that it's not working. Customers do not buy multi-cloud security solutions from cloud providers. They don't trust the cloud providers to support the other clouds as well as the one that the provider is running. And I don't think this case will be different. It might work for customers that are 100% or close to 100% on that cloud, in this case GCP. I just don't know too many customers that don't have a multi-cloud solution. So I really don't understand the strategy behind it on the Google side. Regarding working with Google, we will do whatever is right for the company. We cooperate with competitors all the time. You know, we are a customer of Microsoft. Microsoft is a customer of ours, and we compete. You see it all the time. We'll do the right thing for us.
In terms of the first point, I mean, obviously it's $32 billion, it's a lot of money to spend, and obviously to date, Wiz does have a lot of capabilities in both AWS and in Microsoft, or else they wouldn't be worth that much. So, I mean, why do you feel this won't work? Is it just a matter of it's going to be hard to have that level of collaboration and trust when you're owned by one of the major hyperscalers, or what are the barriers?
I think the main barrier, which I'm hearing from customers, is that they don't want to buy a multi-cloud solution from a cloud provider because they just don't believe, and it's probably a good thing not to believe, that that cloud provider is not going to give themselves an advantage. And reality shows that. We are, the only cases where we see customers buying security solutions from Microsoft is when they're almost 100% on Azure.
Gotcha. And I did want to speak a little bit in terms of that co-opetition piece, because as you said, obviously Microsoft has an OS, they have technology and they layer security on top of it, but they also partner with you. And I guess I was just curious, what's different about trying to work from a technology standpoint with a company who's a direct competitor versus one like Google up until now where they didn't have products that directly competed with your cloud offering?
No, they had products that compete against us. They had Sentinel. Cloud offering.
Yeah, sorry, back on the cloud side, yeah.
I mean, specifically, we're a very large customer of GCP, and all of our Cortex is running in GCP,
yeah.
And they compete against Cortex with their Sentinel solution,
yeah.
And it's okay. Look, when you look at deals like that, you need to put your ego aside, and you need to do what's right. If Google is the right platform to run our product, we will run our products on the Google platform, and if it's not, then we will not, regardless of whether they're a competitor or not.
And I guess I was curious too, and this is, I realize it's not exactly analogous, but in terms of what we're seeing from Google, that we're seeing this convergence of security operations in cloud that obviously they had, as you pointed out, they had Chronicle in the SIEM space, they bought Simplify for SOAR, they obviously bought Mandiant for IR and Threat Intel, and now they're getting cloud capabilities from Wiz. And it's interesting, just timing-wise, obviously comes shortly after Palo Alto Networks announced its move of your cloud capabilities over to Cortex. So I was curious kind of at that high level, what is driving this convergence between SecOps and cloud?
So I'm not sure that that's what Google is doing, because on the SecOps side, they have huge challenges. The huge challenges that they have is they don't have a network security solution, which is essential for as a data source. They don't have an endpoint security solution, which is essential as a data source. And as I said, nobody's going to use them for AWS and Azure, which are also essential data sources. You also need to have a CASB, Cloud Security Access Broker, to have access to SaaS data, and they don't. So I'm not sure that there is SecOps really, or next gen one beyond the basic SIEM with Sentinel. On the other end, the logic behind combining these two, which is what Palo Alto Networks has done with Cortex Cloud, is that for the specific use case of cloud, because in the cloud, processes for developing software, deploying software, and running software applications are very strict, it is relatively easy to build a platform that will cover the entire spectrum, all the way from software development through with things like SAST and DAST and ASPM through CI/CD with things like component analysis and a few other things that you do in the CI/CD pipeline, and then runtime, and then extend that to the SOC. So you can do not just code to cloud, but code to SOC all the way. The cloud offers that opportunity. I wish we could have done it for traditional enterprise. It's just too messy. That's the logic behind it. And that's why we've done it.
Why is it too messy for traditional enterprise?
Because they don't have the strict processes for developing, deploying, and running code. So you have to support so many different use cases that it becomes impossible.
It's curious too, just from a strategic standpoint, and I know we've spoken before that obviously Palo Alto Networks has taken largely either a buy or a build strategy, that you've tried to be category leading in a whole bunch of different security categories. Having said that, there are a few categories where it's been more of a partner-centric strategy, notably around identity and access management, email security, a handful of others. And I was curious, what was the thought process behind partnering in those areas rather than trying to build or buy?
Part of it is because some of these products that you mentioned, identity, are very difficult to replace. So even if we had the best product in the world, going into existing customers and having them replace their identity and access management infrastructure would have been hard. And it's not like we know how to do it. On the email security side, there's really probably no technical challenge and so on. We just never got to it. And maybe one day we will.
What do you feel has made identity security maybe stickier? Because I mean, we can say that for a few other categories. Obviously, endpoint, there was a very crowded market when you entered, but you've made an impact. Certainly, SIEM, you're trying to enter into a market that maybe was aging but had some very established players. What do you feel has made identity a little more sticky than some of the other markets you've been able to enter?
No, so endpoint is easy to replace. Replacing your endpoint agent itself is easy. You put it into your standard build and you upgrade the machines. Identity, replacing an identity provider requires reintegrating with so many different applications, both external and internal, that it's just, it's a very, very long process and most enterprises will not get into it. Just a lot of work.
Absolutely. Why don't you talk a little bit about XSIAM here? I know it's been about 2.5 years since you debuted it to the world. And why don't you get a sense both of what types of customers are you seeing the most traction with at this point, 30 months out, and what tend to be the primary use cases to date?
So we see success with the very large customers. We see interest from smaller customers, are both building and we announced, as well as partnering. In terms of the use case, XSIAM going into a customer environment can solve multiple use cases. And it depends on what the customer is looking for at that time. It's an EDR, XDR, and it's a SOAR, and it's a SIEM, and it's a ticketing system, and it's a vulnerability management solution, and now it's also a cloud security solution. So we always start from whatever the customer is looking for right now, but then we also share the vision with the customers of replacing everything they have in the SOC with XSIAM and turning their SOC into an AI-based automated solution. The primary use case for buying XSIAM itself as XSIAM from the get-go is for customers that want to reduce their mean time to detect into the minutes.
In terms of XSIAM, I was wondering really just what are the primary differences between those large organizations who can consume it themselves, have the in-house resources, versus those who go, who get it delivered on a managed basis, whether it's through an MSP or through Palo Alto Networks. What are some of the nuances? What are the differences?
So first, to use XSIAM, you need to have a SOC. And many smaller customers don't have a SOC. They outsource their SOC. They outsource their SOC to managed security service providers that don't know how to deal with XSIAM. It's the old generation of MSSPs that work under the paradigm of you, Mr. or Mrs. Customer, bring me whatever you have, I'll manage it for you. Versus, no, here's how you do it, XSIAM, let's do it for you. So that's one thing. You need to have a SOC to use XSIAM. Only the largest customers have a SOC. And then the second thing is that in order to get the full benefits of AI-based solutions, you need to have people that understand how to build machine learning models, understand AI, and the larger organizations tend to have those versus the smaller ones.
I wanted to double-click specifically on the AI piece here, and I know we're 2.5 years out from the general availability of ChatGPT. Yeah, what are some of the kind of newer emerging use cases in terms of how you've been able to use it either within XSIAM, within some of your other products, and then what are some of the most novel ways you're seeing adversaries using it right now?
Let's start with our use. We use mostly machine learning based AI, supervised and unsupervised, not LLMs. Almost everything we do for cybersecurity itself, actually everything we do for cybersecurity itself needs very precise AI, which LLM isn't, and machine learning can be, and we make it be. So almost everything we do with cybersecurity is not LLM based. We do have copilots for some of our products, and those are based on LLMs. I don't see LLM getting into the cybersecurity realm of actually looking for bad things and dealing with them. On the adversary side, we've seen a continuous increase in the use of LLMs to generate all kinds of attacks. We've seen the use of LLMs to generate phishing emails, malware, command and control infrastructures, and I'm sure we'll see more. The result of that is that it is rendering almost everything that this industry has done over the last 30 years to try to prevent adversaries from getting in. We've always been proud of being 99% accurate, which was great in a world where developing 100 attacks was very expensive. In the world of LLM, where developing 100 attacks is very cheap and easy, being 99% accurate is not enough. And being 99.9% accurate is not enough. And we're never going to get to 100%. And therefore, we're getting to a point where the use of LLM on the adversary side makes it virtually.
Finally here, I wanted to talk a little bit in terms of kind of what's on the bleeding edge. So as I said, it's only been 2.5 years since you really entered XSIAM. I know the goal has been stated to be a top 3 market share company in there. It's obviously a very fast runway. So I want to get a sense really of what's next. What do you see kind of percolating here? Is it something like mobile? Is it OT? What do you feel that there's an opportunity for Palo Alto Networks to really enter or expand in the market and gain meaningful share?
Of course. As more and more of cybersecurity is becoming data dependent and data based, organizations will need a data platform unless they want to pay twice or three times. More and more cybersecurity functions, like some of those that you mentioned, IoT security, email security, and others, as more of them are becoming data based, it makes sense to move them into a unified data platform. We've spent a lot of time over the last several years making XSIAM and Cortex that platform. The first thing that we moved into that platform is cloud security, because cloud security is using more or less the same data or a big portion of the data that the SOC is using. Doesn't make any sense to collect everything twice. We run it on one platform, right? All the way from code to SOC. there will be more and more functions. Some exist today within the Palo Alto Networks portfolio, and some that aren't today in the Palo Alto Networks portfolio that are going to be added or moved, in the first case, added in the second case, that, where we don't have them, to the Cortex Cloud platform and be delivered as a feature or a service on top of it without the need to collect and pay more data.
It'll be very interesting to watch. Nir, thank you so much here for the time.
Anytime, Michael.
We've been speaking with Nir Zuk, founder and chief technology officer at Palo Alto Networks. For Information Security Media Group, this is Michael Novenson.